This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome to another wild and wacky day in Washington. We're not actually in Washington, we're in Chicago. Thank goodness for that, by the way. You know, we ought to just do it. Why don't we just go ahead and just jump right into it, right? Let's do the top six at six.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
Top six at six on 720 WGN.
Well, well, well. 26 days in, and we have our first member of the Trump administration out. You're out. Michael Flynn, the national security advisor, resigned last night. This is not even close to the end of the story. In a lot of ways, it's just the beginning, and we'll get into greater detail on it in just a second, why it's such a big deal. Next! There's a little guy, and I mean truly a little guy, a guy named Stephen Miller, who was Jeff Sessions' second or third in command in the Senate. Nobody really knew him. And then he became a Trump loyalist. He did everything from writing speeches to Trump. He was actually Trump's opening act at some of the rallies. Mm-hmm. He'd go out and do the warm-up speech. He's 31 years old.
He looks like Putin to me with darker hair. Doesn't he?
Oh, why not? They all look like Russians at this point. So Stephen Miller. Yeah, he does. So Stephen Miller, at 31 years old, goes on the Sunday morning talk shows and makes a complete horse's ass out of himself by saying things like, the president's power will not be questioned. Yeah, actually, it will. Yeah. I know you're only 31, but there was this thing called Watergate. There have been other times in American history, during every administration, where the president's power is checked by Congress or by the Supreme Court. That's the way it works.
How about there's this little thing called the Constitution?
The Constitution. Yeah,
yeah,
these are all important. So Stephen Miller, well, Trump loves him because he's an attack dog for Trump. The rest of Trump's team really doesn't like this kid. So there's lots more problems behind the scenes. And Stephen Miller is said to be possibly one of the main sources of the leaks. Not leaking necessarily himself, but people leaking about things that he says and does. I believe that Steve Bannon is probably going to have Stephen Miller disappear by the end of the week. So just keep that in mind. Cubs have company. You would think the Cubs would be a lock as a World Series fave. Do you know they're the co-World Series favorite?
Yes, they are.
With?
The Boston Red Sox.
The Red Sox and the Cubs, which would be a great World Series. I think we can agree with that.
Well, no. We thought for a while last year we were going to get that.
Yep. But the Red Sox were taken out by Cleveland, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Cleveland.
Yeah, and then Boston had a kind of a busy offseason.
Yeah.
And
they added Babe Ruth.
That's right. They got him back.
Yeah.
And Chris Sale.
Yeah.
So that's...
Chris Sale may get to a World Series against the Cubs after all.
How about that? But the
Cubs... The last thing I want to do is rush this because, you know, we have summer.
Right.
So we don't want to mess around with summer, spring and summer. But, you know, you got to do a lot of things. You got to stay healthy. You got to play well. You got to assume that both teams will play as well as they played last year. But there's no guarantees for any of that. But going into spring training, they're co-faves.
They are co-favorites. The Cubs had opened as sole favorites, and they are still the favorites in the National League with the Dodgers the second choice along with Washington.
Yeah. Again.
So.
All makes sense. By the way, the boys are in Arizona, including Kevin Powell.
Yes.
Starting today, Kevin will be on with us. Kevin on today or tomorrow?
I think he's coming on tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to throw him on tomorrow.
Next! This is an awful story. Jerry Sandusky's son. Ugh. Has been charged with sexual abuse of two teenage girls. He is 41, 2, 3, something
41.
Like that. The two girls were 15 and 16. And I believe they're sisters. And Sandusky will be charged formally and sent to jail on this. But it's just the nightmare from the Sandusky situation. Just you think you're never going to hear that name again, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it pops up. So that's an awful story. Moving on to Valentine's Day. I'm surprised this didn't get more play. Burger King is doing an adult-only sort of happy meal for Valentine's Day, which includes apparently a couple of Burger Kings have liquor licenses.
Some do, yep.
Yeah, so you can get a couple of beers, a couple of Whoppers, and adult toys in the burger. This isn't like a happy meal for the kids where you get to pick the boy toy or the girl toy. This is adult toys to make your Valentine's Day more special.
That's just wrong.
Burger King's changing.
Is Lover's Lane a sponsor or something?
You would think, right?
Oh, can
you imagine if it got confused with like a kitty Happy Meal?
That wouldn't be good.
So what do you
and
say?
They're looking for like a Pokemon or something.
Mom, it's these batteries.
I need a Whopper Happy Meal.
So that's happening. I don't know. I've never seen a Burger King with a liquor license. You have?
Yeah, I have. I don't think in Illinois. Many do, though. And some of the Chipotles are allowed to sell liquors. There are some of the fast food restaurants.
Okay, but we don't want to confuse Chipotle with handing out adult toys.
Adult toys, right. Sorry.
Of course, Chipotle's had a lot of business problems. They may want to consider it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And finally, Nick Cannon is leaving America's Got Talent. He left in a huff. He didn't just go out quietly. He left in a huff. Nick Cannon. The fine young host of America's Got Talent was threatened with being fired by NBC after, in his stand-up act, he did some jokes about NBC that NBC executives thought were racist. Mm-hmm. And all of us signed contracts that say you won't embarrass the corporation you work for. So that gives the corporation broad reach when it comes to getting rid of you if they want to. Well, Nick Cannon has put out some pretty hardcore the spoken word videos over the course of the last summer and some freestyle rhyming, much like stuff Dave and I do on the weekends.
Like spoken word.
Yeah. And a lot of it pretty hardcore. I think NBC is tired of it because America's Got Talent is this wholesome family show. So Nick Cannon becoming some sort of radical maybe out. Who may have been out anyway, but now they put him in a position where he just decided he quit. So there's a few things to keep in mind for your top six at six. We'll come back and talk more about the Michael Flynn thing here in just a second because that's going to be your main story today.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Michael Flynn, the National Security Advisor, reports that he may have discussed those sanctions that the Obama administration placed on Russia that says it is possible. He can't guarantee that he didn't have these discussions. Basic question here, does the National Security Advisor right now enjoy the full confidence of President Trump?
Yes, General Flynn does enjoy the full confidence of the president, and obviously the National Security Advisor is a very important point person in those discussions. General Flynn has said he can't recall and that he had about 30 phone calls with leaders at the time, and since then 70, I'm told, and I'll just leave his comments at that.
He gone.
That was an hour before Sean Spicer, or was it Melissa McCarthy? Came out and said the president and the vice president are reviewing the situation. And last night, the resignation happened. I think some review is appropriate here. The National Security Advisor position is extremely important for a couple of reasons. One, it's not Senate approved. It's someone that the president appoints. So therefore, there's a pretty broad ability for the president to go, this guy's my buddy, or this guy and I go way back. And therefore, they're going to be somebody that I can really count on. They'll keep my secrets, I'll keep theirs, and so on. So President Trump, when he was candidate Trump, took a liking to General Flynn, who, by the way, is a lifelong Democrat, and worked at some, I can't remember the specific capacity for Obama prior to his retirement, but he's been a Democrat forever. Was not a Hillary Clinton fan, decided to support Trump, went full in with Trump, and came along for the ride. There is absolutely no chance that he picked up the phone and called Russia without Trump, maybe Pence, and others in the administration knowing, unless Michael Flynn, lifetime patriot, decided to go rogue.
Yeah.
And if he went rogue and decided he was attempting some sort of quiet coup of the Trump administration, and he, like Steve Bannon, was going to take over his particular corner of it, that's the only explanation for this. Otherwise, Trump, who has not come clean on his relationship with Russia, is involved in this and more? Because that's the ultimate question here. The ultimate question here is, did Trump or someone close to Trump, Steve Bannon, whoever, say, General, pick up the phone, call the ambassador. This is, keep in mind, they're not in the job yet. Mm-hmm. This is December. Pick up the phone, say, call the ambassador. Here's the number. Here, use my card. Right. Use my phone. Call the ambassador and tell him, take a breath. Don't overreact to this, because in a month we'll be in the job and we're going to tamp all this down.
On the same day he spoke to Russia, I'm not going to say allegedly anymore, that was the day that President Obama imposed the sanctions. Right. And kick the 35 diplomats out of the country.
Right.
On the same day. And to say you don't remember, this isn't saying, you know, what did you wear on that day?
This is George Costanza having sex in the office and then sitting down with the boss afterwards and going, was that wrong?
Right.
Was that wrong?
Right.
Did I do that?
Do you think Flynn would have at least, I don't want to say curried himself a favor, but would have at least maybe escaped resigning or being fired if he had said, you know, we did talk about that. We did talk. If he was upfront about it at first,
instead
of lying about it for 3 months.
I don't know, because Susan Yates, the former acting attorney general, alerted the Trump White House a month ago that they knew about this. So when President Trump and Melania, the first lady, stood on the steps of Air Force One.
Yeah.
And said to, I believe it was a CNN reporter, yeah, what's this Michael Flynn story? Yeah, I don't know about that. I'll have to look into it. He was absolutely lying.
Right.
Sally, of course he knew exactly what it was.
Warned them. And look what happened to her.
Yeah. Well, the point being, they knew.
Right.
They knew.
Right.
He knew. So Michael Flynn is out. Now, let's make sure we understand. I'm not a big fan of going backwards here to anybody and going, yeah, but they did this. Yeah, but they did that. We don't have to go far back, though, to see where this sort of lying came up in a previous administration. It was President Obama's. Susan Rice was his national security advisor. And after Benghazi, she was on the famous Sunday morning talk show Loop, where she claimed that the entire Benghazi attack was based on a blasphemous video about the Prophet Muhammad. We know now that that wasn't true. We know that they knew, in the Obama White House knew, that it was a terrorist act from the word go. So she was put out to lie about it as well. The danger of having the National Security Advisor go out and lie, and in this case it was about the deaths of Glenn Doherty and Chris Stevens and Sean Smith and Ty Woods. The danger of having the National Security Advisor coordinates all the security for the president go out and lie is you better have everybody else in your dominoes line here know what lie you're propagating, because they all have to be able to lie to keep your lie going.
Including the vice president.
The vice president as well. And in this case, maybe the vice president knew, maybe he didn't. But now Trump has to hope that there's nothing that that General Mike Flynn will do to blow up whatever secrets he has about Trump. And the relationship doesn't go back this far. This is not a lifetime buddy-buddy situation. It's not, I'm going to take a fall for my brother. If there's anything to be made of that BuzzFeed story and the Russian hotel room of a couple of months ago, if there's anything to be made of Paul Manafort, Michael Flynn was involved with the Ukrainian separatist government and involved with the same sort of things that Manafort was involved in, at least to some degree. So there's a whole Russian cabal, if you will, on our side that needs to be figured out. And if I'm Donald Trump, I'm very concerned this morning if he's not clean on Russia, that Michael Flynn could blow the whole thing up for him.
Mm-hmm. You know what this reminds me of? Last night when we were texting after Flynn resigned, remember the scene in Chicago with Richard Gere, the tap dance? And he's doing the tap dance, and they're all lying. Everybody's lying to protect everybody, but you don't know what he knows, and he doesn't know what you know, and it's just one big lie after the other.
The only thing is, I'm just not sure in this case if Donald Trump can dance anymore.
Right.
You know?
I don't know.
Secondarily to this, and this is a smaller story, but this would be the number one story today if not for the Michael Flynn resignation. This is where it gets so bizarre, you have to laugh. Mar-a-Lago is the Trump Southern White House. He'll go there every weekend and spend his weekends there. It's $200,000 a year to be a member there. Frankly, I don't know what you get for that. I don't care. I'll never be a member. I don't care to be a member. But Donald Trump appeared to be parading the Prime Minister of Japan around, including taking him into a wedding. To show him off.
Yes.
For the guests at the wedding and for the members of the club. So if we start seeing a pattern of people being taken or people being met with at Mar-a-Lago, being introduced to all the guests as a sort of customer service for his members, that's problematic. But the bigger story that came out of the weekend was when the nuclear test went on by the North Koreans, there immediately, appropriately, was a meeting called. And the meeting was called between guys like General Michael Flynn, the NSA at the time, and Trump's team on security, along with the Prime Minister of Japan, who is sitting with him. You would normally take that away to a secure room. Mm-hmm. Now, Mar-a-Lago is a big place. There's got to be a room where you could all go. Instead, they all stayed at the dinner table with the guests all around. And I guess they're on some sort of patio or deck or veranda because they didn't have enough lighting. And they had a couple of Secret Service agents, I believe, let them borrow their phones. But there were people in the group who were using the flashlight app on their phone to hold it up to the documents they had to read in regards to what North Korea was up to.
Right. And there's people around them taking pictures and putting the pictures on Twitter.
Yes. And, you know, we're not here to say that something got out, but you talk about a lack of security and a goofy way to handle things. That, in conjunction with the story that came out yesterday, that the guy who carries the nuclear football was being paraded by the president around and telling people to go ahead and take pictures with
right.
him.
Right. That he took a selfie with a guy, and then some guy put, "Rick is the man. Rick carries the nuclear football."
Right. You can't make it up, kids, because it's actually happening. So who will replace General Michael Flynn remains to be seen. We have more on this coming up. But let's do this. We'll take a break, come up with the big story in just a second at 720 WGN. All right, 650. I believe we've plugged everything in and scrubbed everything down. And Kid of the Week is on, sponsored by Allstate. Let me try Grace one more time here. Good morning, Grace. How are you? Grace, are you with me?
Yes, I'm with you.
There we go. Thank you for being so patient, Grace. I know you're busy. You're Kid of the Week, and you're going to be able, you know, you got a lot of things to do today. So thanks for being patient with us.
No, thank you for having me.
All right, so Grace, what grade are you in?
I am in seventh grade.
And what's your favorite thing to do in seventh grade? Are you a extracurricular type? You got stuff you're involved in after class?
Yes, my favorite thing is basketball. I love to play basketball.
And what position do you play?
I'm a point guard.
Pretty good shooter?
Yeah, pretty good.
What's your best range? Are you a three-pointer? You got a little 15-foot fadeaway? What do you shoot?
Probably by the free throw line.
Nice. What's your best game, most points in a game?
I think I've had around 12.
Nice. Very nice. And what school do you play for?
St. Mary in Riverside.
Okay. Let me just brag about you a little more here. Every year in student council, the folks there try to have a student newspaper. And this year you decided to go ahead and take the job on yourself. Are you the editor or what's your position there?
I am the editor. I collect all the articles and I put them in the right positions. And if I don't get an article in time, then I'll just go ahead and write it.
Let me go to Andrea on this. As a news person, a young news person, what should she be focusing on?
Grace, I think you're taking the right first steps. I was in the student newspaper as well. And write your stories, check your facts, as I'm sure you do, and just get familiar with the interviewing process. What would your dream job be?
I really want to be an engineer. I know it's a little bit far from being an editor or an interviewer, but I really love science and math.
Oh, cool. And do you have an engineer in the family?
Well, my grandfather was an engineer. He recently passed away, though. So.
Well, I'm sorry about your loss. Your art teacher and your student council moderators and your mom all bragged about you to bring you up as a Kid of the Week as well. For all the things that you do, we're happy to make you Kid of the Week and happy that you are so energetic and getting out there and maximizing your life. You got a lot of friends, I assume?
Yes, I do.
And do they keep up with you?
Yes, they do. Sometimes I'm the one who needs to keep up with them. I have a great bunch of friends.
But I like the idea that you're active. You know, you're not just sitting there on Facebook all day. You're not just staring at a video game all day. You're actually getting out there and doing stuff, Grace. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much.
You have a great personality. I could see you being maybe a science reporter.
She could combine it, too.
Yeah.
She could report on engineering. We're trying to get you into journalism, yeah. Grace. Don't listen to our nonsense. All right, hold on 1 second. Let me say hi to Holly here, and let me get Holly on. Good morning, Holly. How are you?
I'm well, Mr. Cochran. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You got a great kid there.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. She is a great kid.
And thanks for your patience as well. How many kids do you have?
Four. Total of four kids.
What's the age range?
Grace is 12, Ella's 10. I have a little boy, Seamus, who's 7, and Quinn is 6 years old, so... We have a house full here, that's for sure.
Well, that's got to be fun, but we do want to say publicly, and Andre, you may want to make a note of this, Grace is her favorite.
That's right. Today,
well,
anyway.
Wait a second. The other ones are listening.
Yeah. We're kidding, other kids.
Just for
be
today.
We're just kidding, other kids. And you're getting into that the age range of the kids now. You're getting to that point where you are pretty much going to just move into your car and carpool.
Exactly. It's all I live out of the car, moving them from place to place, that's for sure.
And are you the fun house in the neighborhood where all the kids congregate at your place?
It's kind of the playground. My living room is definitely a playground for everybody. We're pretty close to the school, and everybody stops here, and they all just kind of come in. Like I said, my living room is a playground.
And as exhausting as it is, the thing is, and I'm sure you get this, but you want to enjoy every minute of it as much as you can. You're entitled to just be done with it, you know, on any given day. But I sat there yesterday with Abigail Grace, and she wasn't feeling good. So she basically just wanted to cuddle for 4 hours. How great is that? You know, it's the good, the best of times and the worst of times. Really good for me, not so good for her. But she just has a little cold. That's all.
Okay.
And you know, as a one-year-old, you think this is going to last about 10 seconds. And then before long, she's going to be 5. She's going off to school. And then she's going to be 10. She's going to have her friends. And then she's going to be 15. And she's going to just need you for transportation.
And then she'll get a boyfriend.
Well, we'll stop that.
Oh. Yeah. We're not going to go there yet.
Yeah.
Yet.
So, yeah, sorry, just for young parents like yourself, man, just enjoy every second of it. I know you do, but I just hope every young parent who's having a tough day where their kids hears that.
Yeah, definitely. That's for sure. That's good. Great advice. That's great advice.
What do you do when you're not running around with the kids?
I help out at the school in the preschool program. So more little ones. Okay.
You can't get enough of it. Look at you.
I can't. I really do. I enjoy kids. They just have so much energy and love. And so I get to surround myself with kids all day long.
Yeah, it makes you feel good. And that's great.
It does.
Congratulations to Grace, as I said in the introduction you know, in our attempt to get you on the air. The Amazon gift cards, the Lumon Ladies Pizza, all that. But most importantly, knowing that she's Kid of the Week and spreading the word and get other kids to follow her lead.
Definitely. Yes, for sure.
All right, give your other kids a hug and tell them I was just kidding.
Will do, Mr. Cochran. Thanks for the call this morning. We appreciate it.
All right, we'll see you later. What a nice family, huh?
Very nice family. Grace,
we need a mom of the
Grace,
week.
Go into journalism.
Yeah.
Go into journalism.
Investigative reporting on engineers.
There you go.
I like that scientific reporter.
Yeah,
Andrea.
She could be a science reporter. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. I've got a feeling Grace is going to figure it out.
Yeah, I think so, too. She's going to make a lot of money.
Well. I was told she was 13. Mom said she was 12. You think Mom would know?
Well, she's got a lot of kids she's taking care of.
That's true. That's true. She can't be responsible for knowing all there. At 6:56, let's take a break for – did we do traffic yet? I've forgotten. We did, didn't
we? Yes.
Let's take a break. Come back at your news coming up on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We have to let people that can love our country in, and I want to do that. We want to have a big, beautiful, open door, and we want people to come in and come in our country. But we cannot let the wrong people in, and I will not allow that to happen during this administration. And people, the citizens of our country, want that, and that's their attitude too, I will tell you. We are getting such praise for our stance, and it's a stance of common sense. Maybe a certain toughness, but it's really more than toughness. It's a stance of common sense, and we are going to pursue it vigorously.
Common sense isn't open to whether or not, I mean, common sense is not your common sense, I guess is what I'm saying. Common sense is common sense. In other words, the people that come into the country, the right people, you got to be careful with your words. And I know that's not Donald Trump's favorite thing to do, and it's certainly not something he's skilled at. But the right people to let in the country are some people that have already been harmed by your immigration ban and the fallout from it. Significant court action yesterday may shut it down for good, but that's another story. The overall notion that you can start these immigration sweeps and start picking people up. There was a woman in particular who's been in the country for 22, 3, 4 years. As a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old are both American citizens and got deported. Now, the fact that she is an undocumented, illegal alien, obviously that's a problem. But after 22 years of non-criminal behavior, after 22 years of contributing in whatever way she was contributing, shouldn't there be a way for her to go to the back of the line without being deported, to go into some sort of process to be able to be an immigrant, to achieve legal citizenship in this country without deporting her?
Oh, I agree. I agree.
She's not a drug dealer. She's not a gang leader. This is the problem. The overall goal of rounding up the criminals and getting rid of them? Yeah, absolutely. Right. But it's not a clean process.
Especially because when this girl you're talking about came over when she was 14, she was brought by her parents. She's not in a position. She's really not an adult. She's a teenager. She can't say, you know what, here I am. I'm here. Let me drive to the, oh, wait, I can't drive.
Right. So she grows up, gets married, has a family of her own.
Right. Contributes to society.
And 22 years later, she gets rounded up in one of these sweeps and she's out.
Right.
So there are innocent people that are being harmed by this. And the people that the president referred to who are telling him so positively what a great move this is the same echo chamber he's been listening to.
Right.
I don't disagree with Trump's position of rounding up gang leaders and drug thugs and bad guys who are non-citizens, or round them up in general, who are non-citizens, get rid of them. But you tell me the filter where you're picking those people up, because you better have a lot more people involved in your plan. Local law enforcement and ICE around the country don't have enough people to do that.
No.
And innocent people are going to get hurt. Broadening it out to the immigration ban, we helped introduce you. Certainly he did it on his own, but we helped introduce you to Tayyip Rashid a while ago. In shorthand, the Muslim Marine. American citizens served this country well as a United States Marine, showed his Marine ID card when the president on the campaign trail wanted to slam Muslims as a whole. And obviously in the middle of this immigration ban, it's relevant to continue to talk to Tayyip anytime. He had a coffee the other day, and I wanted to do a follow-up on him and see how it went. Because every chance, and welcome back, Tayyip, every chance you get to sit down with people and share ideas and you know, listen to what they have to say, honor their fears, I guess, in some way, and answer their questions, you never shy away from that.
I really don't. Good morning, Steve. Thanks again for having me back. You know, a couple of weeks ago when I was on here, I invited all of my fellow Chicagoans to join me for some coffee and cake out in Grays Lake. And to my surprise, we had 10 to 12 people show up. It was really, I mean, normally we have a few people show up, but this was, and the energy level and the kind of questions that were being asked, it was just wonderful to see a group of people who have, you know, very different thoughts and ideas come together and engage in dialogue that, you know, ultimately led everyone to a much better understanding and actually led to some great friendships as well. And that's exactly what we're trying to drive here with this Coffee, Cake, and Islam initiative.
What sort of questions do you get in a setting like that? Because, you know, these are well-meaning people who are at least taking the effort to meet you and ask the questions. What are they asking?
Well, we got a lot of different questions, but perhaps the one that really resonated with me the most was, you know, there's a sense that the Muslim leaders are not speaking out enough against terrorism and against the Daesh and ISIS and all these terrorist groups. And, you know, the answer to that question is you're absolutely right. Yes, Muslim leaders can, in general, be doing more, and we're trying. But it's a double-edged sword because, on one hand, when Muslim leaders do speak out, it's often not covered by the mass media. And really, Steve, I got to thank you because you're one of the exceptions. I think you give us the opportunity and give us a platform to share our thoughts and ideas and to condemn terrorism in all forms, just like, you know, you've been a huge supporter of the True Islam campaign. But on the other hand, you've got some idiot who goes out and shoots up a bunch of innocent people, and that story is talked about on the news for weeks and weeks. whereas we've got thousands of Muslims all around the nation actively engaging the public, and we have a hard time trying to get anybody to cover that. So it's a little bit of a both, double-edged sword, but we're going to continue to push. We're going to continue to try, and this is, again, what we're asking all of our fellow Americans is to come out, join us for coffee and cake. If you go on the True Islam website, there's a section on there where you can type in your zip code, and you can see all these events happening all around you in the country, all over the country. And there's one happening again tonight in Grays Lake. There's also one happening tonight in Chicago. I will be at the one in Grays Lake. It's going to be at the Starbucks on Route 120. So please come out and join us.
Tayyip, it seems to me that the president needs some sort of a consultant, maybe a liaison between the administration and the Muslim community. My thought is, who better than you? Have you thought of reaching out to the administration and just saying, you know what, you need to be in somebody's ear about this because it's such a sensitive issue and there is that fine line?
I have certainly reached out to the president. I know other members of my community who live in Washington, D.C., in particular my brother, who is on Twitter at MuslimIQ. He has reached out. A whole bunch of members of our community have reached out. And, you know, we'll continue to try. And, again, we want what the president wants in terms of making sure that our country is safe and secure from people that we don't want here. Exactly what, you know, Steve was talking about before I joined. But, you know, we need the same level of engagement from them. We are always willing and ready to partner and to engage in dialogue and ideas that will help make our nation safer.
There's an argument that fear makes people more alert and more aware. You could also know for a fact that fear cripples people. And what we know is that Christians don't want a nutty Christian with a gun shooting up a mall or a church or whatever. And the millions of Muslim citizens in this country, the last thing they want is for someone who has some radicalized beliefs to go and commit a terrorist act. The percentage of terrorist attacks in this country that have been successfully committed by radical, fundamentalist, loony Islam terrorists who pervert the meaning of Islam and pervert the religion is it's minuscule. And frankly, in almost every study you see, is less than crazed Christians, of which I am one. Not the crazed version. I'm a Christian. So when you see something like the white guy in Ontario or the white guy in South Carolina that goes in and shoots up the church, that's just as bad. So if we can peel away this fear, and that's why I like what Tayyip's doing and what True Islam does, peel away this fear, which is crippling for people, and have people sit down and say, these are real human beings who are American citizens just like you are, and this is what their thoughts are, and you find out you're the same people and you want the same thing. And that's why I salute what you guys are doing. So give them the website again at True Islam.
Yeah, so the website is www.trueislam.com. There's many different things on there, including 11 points that extremists often use to recruit, and we are trying to put out the right information and educate both Muslims and non-Muslims as to what the true what True Islam teaches regarding these 11 points. And there's also a section on coffee, cake, and Islam where you can log on there, type in your zip code, and see when the next coffee, cake, and Islam is happening near where you live. And, you know, please come out and join us. Additionally, Steve, I do want to mention that we've also launched what is called a Meet a Muslim campaign. So if you're driving around town and you see some guys, men, women, children, holding up a sign that says, meet a Muslim, go over to them, shake their hand, say hello, get to know them. We're trying to engage the public as much as we can, and we'd welcome your help.
That's cool. You know what? And that's a courageous thing to do, because I'm sure those who have done this with the meet a Muslim sign have probably taken some grief on the street as well. So it's gutsy to do that.
Well, you'll be surprised. More often than not, we receive just nothing but warm welcomes from most of the people.
Well,
yeah, you get every now and then, you get somebody shaking their head. But by and large, people really welcome our efforts on this.
I appreciate your time, as always, and good luck, and thank you for your service to the United States Marines.
Thank you so much, Steve, and have a great day.
All right, Tayyip Rashid. True Islam.
Don't you think he'd be a great consultant?
Oh, that's a great idea.
I mean, because that's what I think the administration needs right now. I think everybody agrees, yes, the criminals should not be here. If you're not supposed to be here, and especially if you're a convicted felon, absolutely. But to just have a dialogue with the community.
Right, right, right.
That's what I think needs to happen.
Yeah, completely. Texters, a lot of angry texters, frankly. What about 9/11? I don't understand your question. What about 9/11? Yes, radicalized, fundamentalist, nutty Muslims. Not speaking for everybody in this country who is a Muslim, who is offended and hurt and crushed by the fact that those terrorist acts were taken, terrorist acts took place. So I don't understand. Is it a question? Is it a statement? I don't know what you're saying. Once again, you've missed the point. The white guy in Ontario and the white guy in South Carolina did not murder in the name of their God. Actually, the white guy in South Carolina murdered in a church.
Yes.
So the white guy walked into a church and murdered black people. Mm-hmm. So there is a tie there. And again,
what about the attack on Gabby Giffords?
Yes, Jared walked Walker. Up and shot her.
Yeah.
Another white guy. The problem is not white people. The problem is not Muslims. The problem is crazy people. And crazy people are thankfully the smallest percentage of the population, but they are the problem. And they don't. And the white guy at the church in South Carolina no more represents you as a white person going to work this morning than the crazed lunatics of 9/11 represent Tlaib. They just don't. And for the handful of you who said, well, you let the woman live with you, the illegal, and she had 22 years in this country to turn things around. You don't know this person's life. You don't know what goes on in the community of illegal aliens and their concern of whether or not they're going to be rounded up and deported as this woman was. You don't know her life. I'm not defending the fact she's illegal. I'm saying there ought to be a process where she can go to the back of the line, but she can stay in this country with her daughters and her family because she's not a drug dealer or a gang leader. And if you consider yourself a Christian, man, where's the love? 7:23, speaking of love, Valentine's Day. The top five cheesiest songs for Valentine's Day. Next, 7:20 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I like Bryan Adams. Remember the Robin Hood song that Bryan Adams did with Rod Stewart and Sting, Everything. All for Love?
Oh, I thought it was Everything I
Do. Let's do it all for one and all for love, I think is what the lyric was. It's a good song. I gotta admit, I'm a fan of the cheesy love song. Always have been a sucker for the cheesy love song.
I remembered my prom song.
What was it?
It was Color My World by Chicago.
Speaking of Chicago. Speaking of Chicago. I have the top five cheesy love songs of all time. This is according to Yahoo, by the way. Your list may vary. I look over these top 10, with the exception of the Bobby Darin thing. I played these all on the radio. Played them under the ground when I was a disc jockey. Number 10 was Heaven. Number 9, I Just Called to Say I Love You. Number 8, Lionel Richie. Hello.
Ugh, I love that song.
Hello.
Put it next to Adele.
Was that the one where he was in the museum and it was... In the music video, it was the blind girl that had a bust of Lionel Richie's head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then he did another one, Dancing on the Ceiling, where I think the bust made a reappearance.
Oh, did it? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. Number 7, Extreme, More Than Words. Again, that feels like a mistake to me. I don't know how they made the list. Number 6, Bobby Darin, If I Were a Carpenter and You Were a Lady, I'd Nail You. Wasn't that it?
Dave. There's Dave's favorite.
I don't know if that was it.
I can sing a little of it for you later.
Number 5. You mentioned Chicago. This one's for Mary. Remember this? You're the reason. You're the inspiration. From 1984.
You know our love was meant to be.
It's the kind of love that's going to last forever.
Peter Cetera, especially in high school.
And I want you here with me from tonight.
start to bug me.
Yeah.
Sing it. Always on my mind, in my heart. Here's the part you sing at the top of the lungs of your car. And then it's summer and the windows are down. And you realize you're at a red light and the guy next to you is watching you.
Wind just blowing through your mullet.
Number four on the list comes from a guy who recently retired. A guy who's been around forever. He started in the 60s. And he's a very nice guy. Very nice guy. Huge star. Was actually a big pop star. Was going to be a rock and roller before he got into country music. Number four, Kenny Rogers. Lady.
Lady, I'm your knight in shining armor, and I love you. You have made me what I am, and I am yours.
I give Kenny Rogers credit that he didn't giggle while recording it.
I never liked this song that much.
I was not a big fan of this song, but I like a lot of Kenny Rogers' music. Number three on the list. I'm a sucker for this song.
Me too.
I'm a total sucker. Matter of fact, everything she does. I love everything Bette Midler does.
I can't hear the opening chords to this song without just shedding a tear.
Bette Midler, who once said of her personal trainer who came to her house to give her a workout one morning, I'll give you $500 if you get back in the car and leave. How could you not like Bette Midler? Bette Midler, number three, Wind Beneath My Wings. Did you ever know that you're my hero? You're crying. You're thinking of beaches. And everything I would like to be. Seriously, what a great voice.
I love her. The Rose. Oh.
Even though this doesn't sound like Bette Midler, are you sure this is the cover?
This is the original from Beaches. Really? She sounds different, doesn't she?
Yeah, it sounds like a cover to me.
You guys don't talk over Bette. Did I ever tell you
you're my hero? Number two on the list, speaking of cheesy, this is so cheesy it comes with a wheel of Gouda. Number two, Air Supply.
No.
The One That You Love. A friend of mine, a stand-up comedian, toured with Air Supply. He was their opening act for like 2 years. And he said these guys were wild party boys.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good picture after 2 hours of ballads. They probably did go a little crazy.
Notice all of these songs are from the greatest decade of music.
That would be the 70s?
The 80s.
This is 70s, isn't it?
No, this is the 80s, for
sure. No, I think it's the 70s.
I'm looking it up.
All right, you do that.
Okay.
I mean, maybe it was the
80s. I think it is 80s. I'm thinking.
And number one, and this is a good song, Chris DeBerg, this is a one-hit wonder. This is a song that was a prom theme. This is a song that shows up in weddings, and certainly for the color of the day that is Valentine's Day, The Lady in Red. Chris DeBerg performed this for Princess Diana. It's a pretty famous picture of her in a red dress.
Love this song.
It's a great song.
So pretty.
The song is actually written about Chris DeBerg's wife, Diane. All the hits, all the time. Much more music.
This gets you back to your roots, doesn't it?
It does. There you go. It's one of the cheesiest songs for Valentine's Day. There's a ton that didn't make the list. If you'd like to chime in on your cheese, chime in on the cheese. Tell me your cheesiest love song of all time, including the ones that you don't want to admit you like. Because I tell you, I got a long list of those. And I'll admit them all. I'm the guy that knows all the words to Mandy. And by the way, you were right about Air Supply. It was 1981. 312-981-7200, callers and texters. Text in your cheesy love songs. We'll bring them up as we can. And later on, the annual retelling of the Anna DeVlantis Valentine's Day gift story, worst Valentine's Day gift. That'll be after 9 o'clock in the CLTV hour. Back to the big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo! Ow!
Love that money.
Sponsored by Grandview Homes. The woman knows money. It's Elise Glink. ThinkGlink.com. Good morning, Elise. How are you?
I'm fine. Happy Valentine's Day, Stevie.
And to you.
Thanks.
What are you doing today for Valentine's Day? Anything special?
Oh, no. I'm getting ready to go on a trip to Denver to meet with some companies for best moves and make dinner for Sam.
Nothing more romantic than Denver.
Right. Well, what? Actually, it was 80 degrees the other day. So, hello, they're having a strange winter, too.
If you have a cheesy love song that you're not afraid to admit that you like?
Can I get back to you on that?
Yeah, you can, of course.
How about it's just an old-fashioned love song?
Well, that's a great song. I wouldn't say that has any cheese on it.
Well,
I think that's
what you're eating when you listen to it, I guess.
All right, so we're going to focus on the finances of the Trump thing here for just a second again, because we're talking about this and we're trying to figure out why, aside from what we believe to be the obvious, is the reason that the markets are roaring under President Trump. How big a deal is the elimination of business regulations? Is this the key driver?
Well, I think it's probably what every businessman or woman is hoping for at the CEO level. And I think that's because as a small business owner, it is a little bit tough to comply with all these regulations. The flip side is that this is how we ended up with the financial crisis. Right? Everybody thinks we got into the financial crisis because people who couldn't afford to buy homes, you know, were able to get mortgages, subprime lenders, what run amok, and people were doing things like, okay, I'm just going to state what my income is, and everybody said, okay, great, you can buy a $1 million house, and they weren't making enough money. And so you think that that's how we all got into it, and in some ways we did, but what was behind that were a complete absence of regulation that required people to actually prove that they made enough money to buy a house. And the federal government in large stance backed those loans, or Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac did, which are essentially distant arms of the federal government, now under federal conservatorship. And so it all kind of infiltrated not only into our banking systems, but also into banking systems around the world, and it kind of contaminated the entire pot. I think absence of regulation was a big part of that.
Having said that, and certainly we need to have less regulations, as far as I'm concerned anyway, but having said that, you can't take the richest people in the world and put them in a regulation-free zone. That's how we got to 2007.
Yeah, precisely. So, but everybody is excited about the possibility of that happening, and so what you've seen is this tremendous run-up. I couldn't even believe yesterday that the stock market went up another 142 points or something. You know, it's this tremendous run-up of about 9% since Trump's elected on the idea that he's just going to make it super easy to grab every bit of money that you can and run for the hills.
At least, does the same rule hold for when things are going well, don't look at the portfolio? You know, when it's bad, you say, don't look at it. Just let it ride it out. It's volatile. It'll even out. Should we do the same, or is it a buying opportunity now?
I can't recommend that anybody buy anything. If you know, you'd have to really look hard and be a great student of value. And by value, I mean, because again, what's going up and driving the stock market isn't all stocks. It's not like one stock is raising all boats. It just has that appearance of it. It's illusionary. So there are sectors that are doing really well. Banking is doing really well because banking regulations are going to go away, or everybody thinks they are. But other kinds of industries like manufacturing, they're under tremendous pressure because you've got automation coming in. They're going to be spending money there. Sales are down in some, you know, business-to-business sales are down in some areas, although they're peaking up a little bit. So if you look at the stock market in terms of sectors rather than as the Dow, which is so, again, it's really not real. I know we talk a lot about how things aren't real anymore, but just looking at the Dow and thinking that it represents all the stocks would be a mistake. So to your question, what should you do? I think you should make sure that you're balanced the way that you want to be balanced for the next 10 years. And by that, I mean what percentage are in stocks, what percentage are in bonds, what percentage is in cash, and what percentage of the stocks and the bonds are actually foreign. It's stocks mostly. But you want to make sure that you've got, you know, 10% foreign investment, and you've got some big companies and some small companies and some medium-sized companies, and that's called a diversified portfolio. And whether that goes, the whole stock market goes up or down, you should perform better than 85 or 90% of all the managed mutual funds out there with index mutual funds well-diversified.
You got a Valentine's surprise for people today?
So it turns out, this was kind of interesting research. It's hard to surprise me when it comes to Valentine's Day. I've been married, what, to almost 28 years. It's very exciting. But I know, right? Hard to be surprised. But I got a really interesting study the other day that showed that Valentine's Day is not the only good thing about February. If you want to buy a house and the home buying season officially kicked off right after the Super Bowl, it turns out February is the best month to buy a house in terms of price. So Adam Data Solutions, which is based in Irvine, said that the traditional home buying seasons of like spring and fall, February and certain days in February, you tend to get like a 15% discount, and it's on average over 16 years when you buy a house.
That is a surprise, and I hope people are paying attention to make a note of it. because it goes to a lot of things you've brought up in the past few weeks. Thinklink.com. I just invented a new.
Around today, aren't you?
I just invented a new internet extension. Thinklink.com is where you can go for all of this. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter as well, and learn about your money. That's all.
Hey.
Just learn about your money.
Steve, before I forget, I got to tell you, I was watching my very favorite Valentine's Day movie, Grumpy Old Men, and all of a sudden you tramped across my screen.
Yeah.
And it was exciting.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's one of the greatest acting jobs of all time, and again, not recognized by the Academy.
Not, but should be.
Completely underrated.
You have a surprise for Elise?
Just an old-fashioned love song. Woo-hoo! Coming down in free.
Not one, not two. It's Three Dog Night. It's a great Elise Glink, thinklink.com. Traffic from Mary. Time for me to say this? Okay, then I should probably say it. We have in studio with us a couple of friends, as a matter of fact, MJ Tam and Beth Rosen, Women Driving Excellence 2017 at the Chicago Auto Show. Good morning, Beth.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Nice to see you, MJ. Nice to see you.
Good morning. We're happy to be here.
Explain to people what Women Driving Excellence 2017 is.
Women Driving Excellence, well, every day is Women's Day, but on Wednesday, this Wednesday tomorrow, Women's Day at the Chicago Auto Show, where we honor five of Chicago's top trailblazing women, Christy Hefner, Gail Gann, Mary D. But besides that, it's a whole day of programming. It starts with networking at 10 in the morning, and it goes all day.
Wait, you're doing this tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow Wednesday?
Women's Day at the Auto
Women's
Show.
Women's Day at the Auto Show.
Did I miss the Auto Show opening? Oh, that's right. I was out of town.
Yeah, you were out of town. Disney.
I got to get a calendar.
Oh, that's right.
So tomorrow all day.
All day. And men are welcome. So you are welcome to join us tomorrow.
Okay.
We start with networking. And, you know, the great thing about our event is, you know, how often do you go out there for free networking with the top women of Chicago, the leading women in food and wine, leading women in business and marketing, leading women in tech. So that's what we are so different, that we're bringing these women that are talking about the nicks and bruises that they get to all the way to their career. Most of the time you just hear them on top, but never how they go through. So we have a lot of young entrepreneurs. We have older entrepreneurs as well, who's, you know, learning how to redesign their life, kind of like our Christy Hefner.
And you do this in a blog every week, right? I mean, not a blog, but a podcast every week.
We do. We do
a
show.
Chicagonista show?
Chicagonista Live. We do blogging. We do, you name it, we do it. We do podcasting. But tomorrow's going to be really exciting. You know, women make 85% of the auto buying decisions. And this gives them an opportunity to come to the auto show, see all the amazing vehicles. But they also get a lot more out of it. They get to network. We honor these trailblazing women. We've been doing this. It's our fifth year tomorrow.
Is that right?
5 years. My goodness.
I said
I couldn't believe how. Yes.
Five is the same as fifth.
No, she was just speaking out loud. She couldn't believe it was five.
I noticed over the weekend, too, I was at the auto show. Phenomenal. It really is. So many of the displays and even the handouts, and they're geared toward women, which is very cool. The Cadillac display probably had one of the most popular sites. All the women who were in their high heels, they were giving out slippers.
Yeah, you know, the
and
auto
at the same
show
time saying, here, check this out. Come sit in the galley.
Has become really friendly, really women friendly, which it should be.
Well, it ought to be. 85% of the buying decisions are being made. I would hope they're smart enough to pay attention to the women.
And this is what Women Driving Excellence stands for. It's women who get this. You're going to love this, Steve. Women who start, accelerate, fuel, and steer others to excellence. So when we invite Gail Gand and Christy Hefner to the stage, they're telling the stories about who's motivated, who's mentored them. All of these, they have to talk about what steers, accelerates, fuels. Do you like that, Steve?
I do.
Thank you.
Starts, accelerates, steers. Yes, these are all
fuels.
Good. And fuels. This is a great thing for moms to bring their daughters to.
Absolutely. It's so empowering.
It's very empowering. You know, we're in a selfie generation right now. And for once, we're showing them the women that you should look up to. So there's a lot lesson to be learned from the young ones to, you know, to the young entrepreneurs to, like I said, redesigning your career if you're in an older stage.
And try and catch one of these it's a day-long event tomorrow, obviously, too. But the Trailblazing Women and then the Leading Women in Tech is at 1 o'clock. And then the wine event at night, too. Dave, you should come back.
Dave, wine. Wine,
I heard
Dave.
That. I heard that. One. Well, I heard
really
that.
Quickly, it's a social media event. So Twitter, if you can't make it in person and there's still time to register at Women Driving Excellence, tweet with us all day. You'll get this information. You'll get to hear it. We're Snapchatting. We're Twittering. We're Instagramming. We're Facebook Living. So even if you can't come in person, you can still be a part of the day.
Just wish you had some energy about it, some passion.
A little coffee and seeing you, Steve. It brightened my whole day.
Well, it is a big Valentine's Day for the two of us.
But now you've confused me, and I have to think of a cheesy love song. See, I'm very ADD.
He's asking him off the air, what cheesy love song are you not afraid to admit you like?
What did MJ say?
I said Love Shack.
It's not cheesy, though.
It's
a good song.
A little alcohol, like a little wine, that goes
Dave,
better.
Dave, alcohol, wine.
I heard, Steve.
Thank you, guys. This is awesome.
Where do you want to send people?
We want to send people to womendrivingexcellence.com, Women Driving Excellence on Facebook. You can find us
on Twitter. Hashtag WDE17. Follow along with the conversation online if you can't get there.
All right. But
thanks,
we hope you can. Nice to
Dave,
see you both. Happy
you
Women's
so
Day tomorrow. All right. 8 o'clock. Back with the news next. 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
It's a big love song. Yeah. A lot of people love this on Valentine's Day and any day. Dean Richards, happy Valentine's Day.
Wah. It's that should be your Valentine ringtone today, that song.
Do you have a cheesy love song you're not afraid to admit you like?
I like slower ballads. I like romantic songs.
I'm a sucker for all of them.
Lady, yeah, not, that would one. Not be one of them. No. Ask any DJ, former DJ about our age, and they'll tell you that they hate that song.
Yeah, that's a go to pee. That's I gotta go pee song. You put that on, and you have time to go to the bathroom.
Right. Yeah. 3 minutes and 47 seconds of bliss.
Take your time away. What about Gilbert O'Sullivan?
Alone Again, Naturally.
Yeah, it's a good song for Valentine's Day.
Alone Again.
Or that naturally. Creepy song, Claire.
Didn't you have one more?
You remember Claire, the moment
Claire,
I met you, I swear.
The moment I met you. Get down, get down,
now
get
that
down.
That wasn't Gilbert O'Sullivan.
I think it was. Oh, gosh.
Wait a little while from now. I'm not feeling any less sound. I promised myself to treat myself and visit a nearby town.
Here it is. You know, it sticks to a weird part of your brain, and then it'll kick in.
Isn't that weird how
to make clear to you?
This is a song about jumping off a building.
All that information is in your brain somewhere.
At a church where people sing, my God, that's tough, she stood him up.
Happy Valentine's Day.
I'm it on my own.
Because what are you? Alone again.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
I never understood if he was going to a nearby town or a nearby tower.
A nearby tower to jump off.
Oh, yeah, a tower.
Oh,
yes, tower.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been a nearby town. There's not a tower in every town. He may have had to go to a nearby town.
Might have been on his way to D.C.
How about bread? If. Huh?
No.
I'm Googling all these.
No. The picture paints a thousand words. Was it Morris Albert? Feelings?
Feelings, nothing more than feelings.
That's the entire song. That's the entire song.
Trying to forget my...
Well, it's like You Light Up My Life.
Feelings of love.
Dave in the break brought up a tremendous love song, which is a great high school prom theme, and that You're Having My Baby.
Yeah.
Oh, that's,
yeah, that works.
What a wonderful way of showing that
How
you,
much
love
you love
me.
It was a wonderful way.
Get pregnant. Yeah.
How about Muskrat Love?
What's the greatest part?
Oh.
It's always good.
Who doesn't love a Valentine's Day song where you show your love for animals?
Or Ben.
Ben, the love song to a rat.
To a rat.
Yeah.
How about, do you remember
But
this
the
one?
Greatest part of You Having My Baby?
Yeah.
The line, and because it's never been repeated in another love song. Ooh, that seed inside your baby, can you feel it growing?
Yikes.
I'm telling you.
Nothing says Valentine's Day like seed.
I thought of one that I like. Dan Fogelberg's Longer. Longer than.
Longer than.
There's been fishes in the ocean.
Wait, can I
longer than this song feels.
I'll be in love with all
these. Ah, here you go. Come on, sing along in your car. It's a great song if you're drunk. You don't have to remember any words.
All right. You're the last one in the bar, and they've turned the lights on.
Hey, my
Hey, last call. You gotta go home.
You never love me because you never had feelings.
Who is Felix?
Felix. Felix is a different song.
Felix.
It's a cat. You're singing your cat.
It's a love song to a guy named Felix.
I've been hearing it wrong all these years.
I think I have the cheesiest one of all time. Dean, I know this is your favorite.
What's that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Woman in Love.
This is so pretty. It's a
lonelier place. Can you imagine if Barbra Streisand ever went through puberty?
Which of the Gibb brothers did she do this with?
Barry.
He's the one that's still alive.
I think he produced this, but he sang with her on a duet.
Yeah, he did. All the other Gibb brothers were killed in that great elevator explosion in Iowa.
I think that it was a song called Guilty that he sang with. And we got nothing to be guilty of.
Yeah.
You want I love you.
That was the...
climb any mountain.
You think anybody's still listening?
Just us.
No, we're having fun.
As always, about 8:15 and it's just us.
Beyonce's sister is trying to cover up a tweet. Oh, yeah, it's like when a dog tries to cover up what it did. But Beyonce's sister, you know, where they back up and they just try to cover up their tweets?
Solange.
Beyonce's sister Solange, who I maintain, was caught in a hurricane based on her dress and her hair.
What the heck happened to her?
I think she took a nap backstage and they woke her up at the last minute.
Right.
She scared me.
Metallica tour. Anyway, Solange story coming up. Grammy ratings coming up. Metallica tour announced.
Yes.
Coming up. Can you still get Lady Gaga tickets? Hugh Jackman has another cancer scare. Nick Cannon says he's done with America's Got Talent.
What's your favorite romantic Metallica song?
Oh, Enter Sandman.
I love Metallica.
Yeah, Enter Sandman is such a sweet song
for a
new relationship.
Turn the Page is a good one.
And another actor wants to play a Trump staffer on Saturday Night Live. Here's what you don't do with Lorne Michaels. You don't call him and go, hey, can I be on? It's like trying to get a member at Augusta. All that coming up, and a special celebrity guest.
One of the stars of 50 Shades Darker.
That's right. So we got a little S&M on top of everything else for Valentine's Day on the show. Huh? All right.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I want you back. I'm not very good at this. I've never wanted to try again. Have dinner with me.
Okay, fine. I will have dinner with you. Because I'm hungry. But we are only talking, and that is it.
Gotta be quicker than that.
Okay.
Are you happy?
I've never been happier. You got me looking so crazy.
50 Shades. Darker. That's right. 50 Shades Darker is and Dean rejoins us now. It's the sequel to 50 Shades of Grey.
I actually put handcuffs on whenever I talk about this movie now.
I think it's the right thing to do.
Get into it.
It'd be good on TV if you're reviewing it in full bondage.
Right. With duct tape on my mouth.
How about NSYNC, God Must Have Spent a Little More Time on You? Hmm? Yeah, how about that for a love song?
In
NSYNC.
I'm just going to throw a few more out here.
I got one.
What's that?
We were talking about Metallica. Yeah. They have a lovely song for Valentine's Day called Now That We're Dead.
Dean, that's not really a more of a, you know. Whiskey in a Jar, I think, is more of a love song by Metallica.
I don't know.
Whiskey in a Jar.
The Muskrat says Dean's right.
To each his own.
All right, before we get to the star, the sole biggest star that we could get of 50 Shades Darker, let me go through some of these in the lightning round. What did Knowles do? Solange Knowles
tweeted out, you know, after Beyonce was shut out of the top three awards by Adele, it's not the first time that she's been shut out for Album of the Year. Solange tweets yesterday implying Grammys so white. She didn't use that phrase, but she tweeted out, there have only been two black winners in the last 20 years for Album of the Year. There have been 200 black artists who have performed on the show. She has since taken that tweet down, but she apparently not taking this as gracefully as Beyonce, who was you know, very acknowledging of Adele, who heaped praise on Beyonce, saying that she voted for her. Solange not so happy about it. And there actually is some talk in the industry that they need to look at their voting process in the Recording Academy the way they did with the Motion Picture Academy and open up the voting process a little bit to make it a little more representative of the population.
Could it have been more awkward, though, as every time Adele got another Grammy, she went, oh, this should really be going to Beyonce.
Right. Yeah, that, it was, you know, you could see her genuine affection for Beyonce.
Right.
And I don't know if you saw this picture that came out yesterday. Adele actually took the Grammy, the physical trophy that she got for Album of the Year, broke it in half.
Oh, she did.
And gave half of it to Beyonce.
I didn't know if that was a bit or not.
I think that was true. I haven't seen any place that was a joke.
How was the ratings?
Ratings were up a little bit from last year, which is kind of in the face of the trend for award shows where ratings have been down. They actually did pretty well on Sunday night. So apparently they'll be doing it again.
New Metallica tour. Andrea, being a rock chick, loves this.
Just announced they are going to be at Soldier Field on June the 18th. Tickets for that actually will go on sale. If you are in the Metallica fan club, and I'm guessing Andrea is, or a Citibank credit card holder, pre-sales will begin this morning at 9 o'clock. General ticket sales will begin Friday morning. Yesterday morning, tickets for Lady Gaga's Wrigley Field show on August 25th both went on sale and completely sold out. A lot of times when that happens, they add additional shows, and they did in New York, L.A., Washington, D.C., several cities, not here in Chicago.
I bought my Gaga tickets yesterday, and there is no truth to the fact that I'm in the virtual waiting room right now for Metallica.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Muskrat is very feisty today. Hugh Jackman had another cancer scare?
He released a photograph of himself with a big old bandage on his nose. He has now had his sixth skin cancer removed from his nose. Basal cell carcinoma, to be exact.
That's his stuntman.
He says, thanks to frequent body checks and amazing doctors, all is well. And this picture looks awful. It's a gigantic bandage on his nose. And he says that the picture looks worse with the dressing on than it does off. But he's doing okay. And Steve, wear your sunscreen.
That's exactly right. Nick Cannon is out or wants to be out?
He wants to be out. NBC threatened to fire him because he did a Showtime stand-up special where he used some racially charged language, I believe. Some would call it the N-word repeatedly. NBC didn't like that, threatened to sue him. He said, you know what, if you're going to tell me what to do, something that's not even related to what I'm doing on NBC, I want out. So he wants out of his contract. NBC's right now not letting him out of his contract, so they're fighting right now.
And another actor wants to play a Trump staffer on Saturday Night Live. Again, you don't call Lorne Michaels or call him out in the media and say, hey, pick me.
You know Zach Braff?
Yeah.
We used to be on Scrubs.
He's great.
He is hilarious. And he posted a picture of himself and Trump spokesperson Stephen Miller, senior advisor Stephen Miller. and said that he wants to come on SNL to play him, and he's willing to completely shave his head just to do that gig.
Hmm. Okay, thanks. Standing by on the phone, the biggest star from 50 Shades Darker that would do this show. It's our friend Mark DiCarlo. Oh, you little S&M bandit, you. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, Steve. How are you?
Well, I think back to the time you and I were in the Dells and I woke up in handcuffs, and now it's all becoming clear to me.
Well, Steve, as you know, I'm a very good actor, and this starring role in this film was something that really kind of came upon me quite by surprise, but I'm pretty happy with that. I haven't seen the movie, but I really had a great time working with Jamie and Dakota.
You know, Steve, this is
Jamie
so
Dakota.
This is so
this.
Typical of actors. You know, they don't like to go see the final cut of the movie.
Right.
It gets in the way of their creative process. This apparently. Imagine my surprise when I'm watching this 50 Shades Darker movie, you know, and I'm engaged in the plot. I'm deep into the plot of the whole thing. And who do I see up on the big screen? Do I ever need to see Mark DiCarlo's head that large? I didn't think I did. But what a surprise. What a surprise it was to see you in this movie.
What role do you actually play?
I play a newscaster, Steve, very popular, kind of like a sexy Ron Majors. And I'm in the film, but then I shot a lot of scenes, and as the movie develops, you see that I'm actually a very large part of the kind of sexy underground of the city and have quite a few titillating scenes, I don't mind telling you.
Yeah, that's not exactly how I remember it. But
okay. So he plays
something,
a newscaster.
Yeah, something happens in the movie that is being reported on the news, and these sexy Ron Majors character, I believe that's how they credit him at the end of the movie,
right.
Our friend Mark.
Do you feel, Mark, are you fearful at all that this is going to create you being pigeonholed as a pervert, and you only get pervert scripts?
From your lips to God's ears, Steve. No, I first of all, I don't think there's anything dirty or naughty about sex and lovemaking. You know, 2017, and
I've been doing it wrong.
Yeah, you might be. If you haven't been handcuffed to a live bull rocketing through a target with your pants off, you just don't understand love.
I think Mark's trying to get an endorsement deal with Black and Decker, clearly, here.
And Jamie and Dakota.
Right.
I had no intention to see this movie. Now I'm going to see it twice.
So explain.
You have to get all the nuance in my character.
Explain the roles that you filmed, Mark, because as I say, I remember the one where you report the bulletin of that which happens in this movie, but explain some of the roles that you filmed.
Well, we do that first scene where I'm reporting what happened, and then I go to the hospital, and there's some people there, and there's a sexy doctor scene. I don't know.
Spoiler alert.
You know what a tongue depressor is, right, Steve?
Yes.
Not in this context, I don't think we do.
Careful.
I supposedly, I don't know if this is true, but I supposedly set the Guinness Book World Records for the most amount of tongue depressors inside a human body ever.
That scene may have been cut.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they may have been one that you just thought you were in.
It was pretty edgy. I thought they might cut that. The other one.
Painful.
Well, it was a little bit. And you know, I don't know if you've heard of this kind of sexy subculture called furries, where people dress up as, like, mascots.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And engaged in sexual activity. I was.
You were briefly married to the San Diego Chicken, weren't you?
Well, it was an open relationship, yeah.
Which means what? You were allowed to see other mascots?
Exactly. Exactly. I was with the Minnesota Gopher, and the guy who wears the chicken suit for Chick-fil-A on the corner.
Wow.
It's controversial, though.
It's Mark DiCarlo, the only star you need to know from 50 Shades Darker. I'm very proud of you.
Thanks, Dia. It was an uplifting role, and I'm thrilled to be kind of open up my career in this way.
Already a lot of Oscar buzz about you for next year.
Yes.
Actually, I'm playing Oscar Buzz in the new Toy Story.
It's a Pixar movie. It's a Pixar movie.
Buzz Lightyear's sexy brother.
I was at Disney this weekend. I saw Oscar Buzz and Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, that's me.
All right, thanks. Hold on there, Big Star. That's so great. Mark DiCarlo playing a pervert.
I could not have been more shocked when I'm trudging through this movie, and there is our old pal, Mark DiCarlo.
Unbelievable. All right, thanks for another big get from you.
I bring the A-listers.
It's Dade Richards, and we'll get to the big story right after this.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:45, and one of the all-time great interns on the program. Well, rejoin us, update us on her life. She's been in the witness protection program for a while. May have committed some crimes. We don't know.
She was on a cool adventure.
Yeah, and she got married.
Yeah.
Well, I had told her previously that I had intern approval on all weddings, but of course she didn't listen to that. So we'll see, but we'll get to her in just a second. Before we do that, Scott Paddock's here. Scott, are you taller than you were last time you were on the show?
Have I grown?
Maybe. You're such a big boy. Nice to see you. Tell everybody where you're from.
Great. You know, I grew up in Plantation, Florida, and got my introduction to the Midwest playing basketball back at Notre Dame back in the day for Digger Phelps. So met my wife, who's a Chicago gal, and settled in the city.
I remember you told me you played for Digger. You don't look old enough to have played for Digger.
No.
Didn't Digger leave like around 80?
He stayed a couple of years after I left. And so I got out in 1990, and he stayed a few more years.
Oh, okay. So he was around that long.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We know Digger mostly through, at least in my case, mostly through his affiliation with the Cubs. I used to run into Digger with Cubs games all the time.
He still shows up there and sings every season.
Poorly, right?
Well. How's he doing? His health is good.
He has actually turned 75 last summer, and he's doing well. He's had a couple of bouts with some prostate cancer and been a champion and an advocate for it now, but he's doing well.
And how good were you when you played for him?
What's that?
How good were you when you played for him?
I was a role player, but we were good. We made it to the NCAA tournament all 4 years, Sweet 16 1 year. So, you know, we held our own.
How are you feeling about Northwestern getting there for the first time?
I love it. You know, I thought the hire of Chris Collins was spectacular. We went up against Coach Gain. Never had a lot of success against them. They kicked our butts when I was with the Irish, but great hire, infused energy into the program, and boy, to make history for the first time, I think this city would go crazy for it.
And, go Cats.
You know, we've been talking about the 100-game winning streak for UConn, and it was Digger Phelps who snapped UCLA's winning streak at 88 games.
Yep.
Otherwise, there probably would have been a 100-game streak back in the 70s.
That's right. What a lot of people don't know, Dave, is Notre Dame beat UCLA on the front of that win streak as well. They were the bookends.
That's right. They were the bookends.
Yeah,
how about that?
And it's the only time that and John Wooden ever considered cursing. He didn't actually do it. He just thought about it. So how's a guy that's too tall to fit in a race car end up being the president of Chicagoland Speedway?
That's a great question, Steve. I get that asked all the time. You know, I just got into sports in a variety of roles. Spent many years at Gatorade running their sports marketing group. NASCAR was a big part of our sponsorship portfolio. And this opportunity opened at Chicagoland Speedway back in 2011. Too good to turn down, and it's been a lot of fun. We're lucky to work in the sports industry.
We're about to tee off the and you know, I'm a NASCAR fan, as you know, and Pete Pistone, one of the greats, period, in covering NASCAR, has been a friend of the station forever, worked here for quite a long time as well. And one of the things I love about NASCAR, and it used to drive me crazy, but I thought it's really brilliant, the Super Bowl starts the season.
You're right. No other sport can claim that. But the biggest race of the year, the Great American Race, kicks off the season next Sunday, February 26th. And I've done some research on, and I can't come up with a good answer on why we kick off the season with our biggest event of the year. I don't have a great – it's just history and tradition.
Yeah, and it's not like Daytona just got big. It's always been big.
Yeah, yep. You know, and the history of the sport is back in the 40s, they were racing on the beaches of Daytona Beach, the sandy beaches. Really a remarkable history. And then built the famous Daytona International Speedway back in the late 40s. And here we are today, a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Monster Energy, a new partner this year?
New partner. And they're very clear about who they are. They know what their brand is. It's about racing. It's about partying. It's about music. And they're literally going to bring the party to the racetrack. every weekend, and we're excited about that. Going to bring in a younger audience. We, like every other sports property, need to get younger, and they're going to bring the party to the racetrack, and it's going to be a lot of fun for the fans.
Scott, can you explain this new point system this year? Because, I mean, I've read it. I think I got it.
We can go to Ashley on this. The new point system.
Can you explain the point system?
No clue.
Okay.
You know, it's so basically what they've done is they've broken a race into three stages now. The first 25% of the race, stage one, the next 25% stage two, and the final 50% stage three. And rather than just award points to who wins the race, they're now going to award points to who finishes up front in those various stages. So what they want to do, they want to create more memorable moments throughout the race. You know, on the golf course, you make a birdie on number nine, that counts toward your final score.
Yep.
But we had drivers that were racing up front 90% of the race. They would get caught up in a wreck and have nothing to show for it. So now this is going to reward those drivers. It's also going to make sure that drivers aren't kind of – it's like an NBA game. You have to watch the last 2 minutes, right, to figure out who's going to win.
But if somebody wrecks you, that's the thing, right? Because if you're leading for 90 laps – and somebody wrecks you, that's completely unfair that you have nothing to show for.
That is. So now you can accumulate these championship playoff points during these early segments of the race. And rather than hang in the back of the pack and play it safe, you now have to race hard. So the whole premise behind it is every lap of every race matters. And how you race in the first half of that race in Talladega in April may have championship implications in November.
And not only is Junior back, but according to Vegas odds, he's the favorite.
How about that? Yeah, sat out the second half of the season with concussion. You know, the concussion's a big issue in a lot of sports, not just the NFL now. And certainly NASCAR has had some issues with the Michael Jordan of our sport, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and great to have him back. I mean, about a third of all the merchandise sold in NASCAR is Earnhardt Jr. related. He's got
a huge
fan following and has not won that championship yet. So it's not only great to have him back, but he's the odds-on favorite to win Daytona next weekend. And, boy, if he could win a championship and get that monkey off his back, that would be a huge...
What a legacy, too. His dad lost his life on the track, you know, so this is an opportunity to tie those loose ends together.
Absolutely. So it's great to have him back.
The best helmet technology in all of sports. Anybody that wears a helmet, NASCAR does it better than anybody. And yet he still had a concussion issue, so he's got to be careful. Of course, that's a ridiculous statement. How can he be careful? You got to race.
Yeah, you know, they'll exceed speeds of 200 miles an hour next week down in Daytona. But safety is a big part of the sport now, and they've made the sport a lot safer. And since Earnhardt Sr.'s death, there has not been a death in any of the three major NASCAR touring series, and that's a testament to the safety that's now in the sport.
So let me see if I got this right. So if Junior wins... then you're refunding ticket money for people who buy tickets to your race?
We thought we'd have a little fun. So if Junior wins the Great American Race, if you buy a ticket between now and Sunday's Daytona 500 for Chicagoland Speedway, and we're proud, Dave, for the seventh year in a row to kick off NASCAR's playoffs, Sunday, September 17th. But between now and next Sunday, if you buy a ticket to our event and Junior takes the checkered flag at the Great American Race, your ticket is free.
It's a good deal. He's the favorite.
So who you're rooting
little
for?
A little risky, huh? I don't know what I was thinking.
See, you're rooting for. It's really good for the sport. Hold on a second. What's it going to cost?
Yeah,
I forgot to ask our staff that question.
Nobody ran the numbers? Oh, green flag. More in a second, and we'll tell you how you can make sure you do have tickets. And, yes, you should pay for them. CLTV joins us in a couple of minutes. As his former intern, Ashley, now a business tycoon. I don't know, it's more of a startup thing. I don't even know if we can talk about it because it sounds illegal to me. Before we get to all of that, though, a couple more minutes here with Chicagoland Speedway President Scott Paddock. For people that want to get tickets already for any of the race events this summer, where do they go?
Sure, they can go onto our website, chicagolandspeedway.com, or call 1-888-629-RACE, 888-629-RACE.
And the two main events of the summer?
Yeah, we got the big on the drag strip side, Route 66 Raceway, the NHRA National event, July 6th through 9th, and then the big one to kick off NASCAR's playoffs, September 14th through 17th. And parking's free, believe it or not. You don't hear that a lot in sports. You can bring your coolers into the grandstands. NASCAR's just kind of a unique animal in that regard, part of the fabric of the sport, just a very affordable sports proposition.
Yeah, it's funny because we all get silly questions because we're all in show business, right? So people go, you only work 4 hours a day? And they go, no, sometimes 4 hours, 15 minutes. Maybe longer. But in your case, how many times do people come up to you and go, you only work 2 weekends a year?
A lot. But that drag strip keeps us busy. So pretty much from April through October, we've got activities going on every weekend.
And a lot of concerts.
As you can imagine, being the state of Illinois' largest single-day spectator sporting event, the planning around that is really a year-round process.
Right.
So, yeah, music, entertainment, we do endurance events. So we've got some unique infrastructure that enables us to do a lot of things out there.
How many people do you get there on race day?
Oh, you know, over the course of the weekend, we'll have about 125,000 people from all. We had ticket holders from all 50 states last year. So, you know, we're proud of the economic engine we are for Chicagoland. You know, this is NASCAR represents the second most watched and followed sport in America, only behind the NFL. And to be able to kick off their playoffs, it's quite an honor for us.
And by the way, literally followed, because people get in their RVs and they'll follow a driver from race to race.
That's right. That's right. In fact, Ashley did camp for the last 4 months. She should bring the RV out to the track.
I should.
Yeah, you did that cross-country trip with your husband.
Yes,
right?
I did. Yeah.
You're so involved in
Isn't
something
Isn't that a
illegal.
Cool idea? Though? She's not.
Totally.
How cool is that, though? What was the coolest place you saw?
Cannon Beach, Oregon. Have you ever been?
What?
No, I've been to Oregon, though.
Yeah, I was saying
to Scott.
I saw
the places you went. Cannon Beach, Oregon?
Cannon Beach was one of my favorites, and Idaho, which is what you wouldn't think. Yeah. Being from the Midwest, I feel like when you go out west, it's Colorado and California, yeah. like the two places people love to go. But no, Idaho and Cannon Beach.
Ashley got in the hooch. All right, one more time. Website for the track.
Chicagolandspeedway.com, 888-629-RACE, and buy your tickets now. Best price available. And if Earnhardt Jr. wins the Daytona 500, you're coming free.
Look at you. Look at you and what you've done. I'm telling Digger.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back.
Well.
Your dreams were your ticket out.
In a constant effort to improve the overall sound of America's finest radio station, John Williams is returning full-time.
Yes.
For those of you who've loved John for a long time, me love John long time. And for those of you that listen to him on Saturdays and were saying, boy, wouldn't it be great if I could get more John Williams.
You know, John Williams and I started the same month in 1997.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And we celebrated all our holidays together. Because we were the newbies, so we did Thanksgiving, we did Christmas Eve.
Are you making an announcement here? No, something you enjoy?
No, no, he knows. We always and then, you know, now hopefully we won't be working, but we always kind of touch base on Thanksgiving and say, remember back when? Because we were the only people here.
Well, John and I started the same day, Andrea.
Is that right?
One better on you. Yeah. Labor Day.
Here's the thing.
After.
John is going to be doing 1 to 3 Monday through Friday plus Saturday afternoons. So there's no chance that we'll see John ever.
No.
So because of that, I thought, John, the only way John and I, I've been a fan of John's forever, and John's a friend, but I thought this is probably going to be the only connection we have, John, is me saying congratulations, I'm glad you're back.
Thank you for letting me just jump in here for a second. You guys are fun. I want to be on the Steve Cochran Show.
It starts very early.
I don't want to be on that.
Very, 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 very early.
Can I tell him anytime?
Yes.
Anytime, John.
All right, so here are some of the FAQs we get asked about J-O-H-N.
Okay.
Are some of the things that John was known best for going to be a part of John Williams' return?
You mean like my forgetting things or
yes.
not knowing the name of the guest I'm
yes.
interviewing?
Yes.
That will probably be part of the show. We'll also be doing The Bright Side Alive.
There you go.
Which we rolled out just to see if folks would get it on us. Steve, I always thought that thing was very time sensitive. Like, once upon a time, I did afternoons on GN, and at 5:30, that was like the perfect time. You're in your car going home. The weekend's here on a Friday.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that would work on a Saturday at, you know,
10:30
or something. But it worked. People called in and shared amazing things. So.
Love The Bright Side.
And here's the thing. And John, I think, remembers this. One day I thought, you know what would be funny? What if I do The Dark Side of Life?
Yeah.
So I went on the air to do The Dark Side of Life. And I figured people would call up and go, I never get a raise. They'd call up and go, my husband and I have been married a long time. I'm pretty sick of him. You know, just stuff that you could kind of play off. First call, woman crying, her cat died. End of the bit. Over.
Oh, no.
Over.
Nice you job, know, Steve.
I'm still on the radio in Minneapolis, and it's funny, Steve. The other midday guy here does the same thing. He does The Dark Side, and people call in and say angry or sarcastic things, and I think it dies on the vine every week.
Yeah, it does. No, definitely, kids. For you kids listening, go Bright Side. It's got a longer shelf life.
One of my
We need the bright side, Andrea, now more than ever.
Absolutely. One of my favorite segments that you used to do, the voicemail. I always like the
voicemail
music.
Voicemail highlights.
Now, I know we're in a different time now. There's texting. There's Twitter. Are you going to revise the voicemail highlights, maybe?
I don't know, but we used to do something called the Weird News Roundup, which was kind of fun. And
well, you know what you can do with voicemail highlights, because nobody has the energy to check their voicemail anymore.
It's kind of an anachronism.
Have people call in, but never check it.
Or just read off your missed calls.
Right.
Cochran, Ennett.
We could just read the text line, which is basically, I hate you, you're stupid, why did you say that? Do you guys get texts like that? Because we are here. Yeah.
It's like the same three people.
It's like the alleged paid protesters of Congressman Chaffetz. There's five or six, and on each show, they every day they listen, and every day they want to tell us how much they hate us.
But they really hurt my feelings after a while. It's like, I know I've been in the business long enough I should have thicker skin, but I read the text line, and I go, I guess I should stop doing what I do. I'm terrible.
Well, the funny thing about show business people is you can get 1,000 compliments.
Yeah.
And you'll go, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? But the one person that says you suck will be the one that you focus on.
Read Rex Hupke in the Tribune today. You can tell that he's sort of responding to all of the grief he gets for the stuff he writes. And he said, I'm still going to keep writing it. But I was kind of glad to read it because, Steve, it sounds like you get negative texts sometimes, too.
Well, only daily.
And I do as well. And you read Hupke and you go, wow, okay, I'm not alone. You do the best you can, and sometimes people just dump on you, and he's feeling it.
And Steve, you've talked to your mom about keeping her opinions to herself, too.
Yeah. And yet she doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty good at avoiding him, though. I really am. I'm pretty good at avoiding. I read them all.
Well,
but I'm pretty good at avoiding. All right, so you're going to do 1-3 starting when?
March 13th.
Oh, that's great.
Cool. So I'll be in the building March 12th, and the 13th I'll be on for 2 whole hours a day, which is making me nervous because usually, Steve, don't you think the perfect shift is 3 hours long?
Yep.
And a lot of us have had to do 4 or 5 in our careers, and the diminishing returns are amazing. 2 almost doesn't feel like... you can't get into your groove in 2.
Well, the weird thing is, you and I swapped out that weird midday show here a bunch of different times.
Yeah.
Where I was doing it or you were doing it. And 2 hours, because John does a ton of preparation for the shows, he actually knows what he's talking about. When you go on the air, you end up leaving so much stuff out. And sometimes it's an on-the-fly editing process, and you get to the end of the show, you go, I didn't get to this, I didn't get to that,
right.
I didn't get to this. So that's a little frustrating. But it's the best of both worlds here, because you get Bill and Wendy from 10 to noon.
Yeah.
You get the noon business hour. You get John from 1 to 3, Ro from 3 to 7, and then Justin, and then Patty, and then Nick, and then we come back in the morning, provided that I'm awake. And then Saturdays, what time are you going to be on Saturdays?
So I'm on 10 to noon now. You know, Kathy and Judy are not on Saturdays anymore.
Right.
And I had the unenviable task on Saturday of being the first guy to take over for them after their Saturday very popular show after Mr. Fix-It came on. And, you know, I love the girlfriends, but I'm now in their slot from 10 to noon.
Are you doing both parts?
I'm doing both Kathy and Judy.
Yeah.
So I'm doing, and I kind of like, as much as I don't want to work 6 days, I also like the fact that I'll keep my Saturday shift because we have a little bit of a groove there. I'm on with my son Griffin, who produces, and we sort of have a little community going on Saturday. So since I'm only on 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday, the Saturday show will give me a little more time to do some of my
stretch
shtick.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now, before we let you go, you're still on CCO or are you done there?
No, I'm still on CCO. At least I'm planning on doing my show this afternoon. I will continue to do it up until the 13th when I start on GN. And then for a short while, just to help the station I'm on now, find the replacement part that they want, I'm going to do a double shift for a little while.
Well, that's awfully nice of you.
Yeah, well, I'm going to make him pay me for that.
Dave, do you have a question for John Williams?
Well, no, I just wanted to welcome John back, and also I look forward to working with him every Saturday because on days where Northwestern is playing on Saturday afternoons in the fall, John won't be on the radio. He'll be out with me spotting for me in the booth.
Oh, I would love to.
He's done that, hasn't he?
He has done that.
How did I do on that, Dave?
You did really well, John.
That's not true.
No, it is true. You did very well.
I would sometimes point to the wrong player.
Well, there was that.
And I wanted to talk a lot, and he wouldn't let me do it, so it was kind of awkward.
Yeah, it wasn't really a speaking role.
I didn't
generally
know
speaking.
That.
Mary Vandeveld, do you have a question for John?
Well, hey, John. I was just wondering if you're going to bring back your lovely run you did on New Year's Eve in your boxer shorts with the lights all over you.
Every year at New Year's Eve at midnight, I would emerge from my house wearing only underwear, Christmas lights, and sneakers.
Weren't they tidy whiteys too?
It morphed. It was various things, various years, depended on the mood and
where we
were.
I thought it looked great. Yeah, you did it for years.
I got to tell you,
what happened? Well,
the times changed. The idea of a man gathering the children in the neighborhood became less and less socially acceptable.
He didn't want to become a news story.
He ended up in jail.
That was what it was. Right? Go, dude, that's not cool anymore. So I don't do that anymore.
That's why John had to go to Minneapolis. He was registering in every neighborhood he was in.
I want to say thank you to Steve. And like one of the first people I talked to after it was announced that I was going to do this shift was Andrea on the air. And it felt like old times. And
it did.
I feel a special kinship to Mary and Andrea because we all walked in the building the first almost day years ago. And the first text message of congratulations I got was from Steve. And Kathy and Judy reached out to me right away, too.
Yeah,
so
they did.
Nice.
Thumbs up to y'all.
And a bunch of people are asking if you're moving back. Yes, you are. You'll be living here in town. And John doesn't have a home currently, so if you'd like to take John and his wife in.
Ashley has a camper.
Have you guys seen what property taxes are in the Chicago area?
Pretty tough. Pretty
John,
tough.
I know.
Get about it.
John,
get
come
tough.
Talk to me. You know, there's,
oh, my gosh.
Pretty tough.
There's units in my building. We should
do
talk.
Do I get my own fire truck? It's unbelievable.
Get a double wide with Steve.
Well, live in a food truck, right?
Live in a food truck, John.
I'll run that by Brenda.
Last question for you.
All right, John, last question. Well, Brenda's my my Oprah girl. We actually, Brenda and I went and saw Oprah's last show together, which was
holy
a blast.
Cow.
Remember that?
I remember
that. We had so
that.
Much fun. Thomas Jefferson, will he be more recurring now? Because I know it was kind of sporadic.
I've mentioned this in the past. John thinks Thomas Jefferson is still alive.
Their shows are
I'm sorry, John, what was the question? Thomas Jefferson.
TJ.
Is Thomas Jefferson coming back?
You made fun of my Jefferson stuff a lot.
Yeah. We love him, John. He gets a big crowd.
Of course
he's
coming back. He sells out every show. I'm just jealous. Please.
We do. We sell out TJ. We sell out Teddy Roosevelt as well. Right. So once in a while, he'll either on Saturday or Monday through Friday pop in, especially as we get closer to our shows. We'll do shows, you know, a couple times a year with one of them on stage.
And we're all looking forward to when he brings back President Trump.
Yes.
So thank you for inviting me on this. And by the way, I don't know if you guys know this, but after this appearance on Steve's show, I'm going to appear on Jim Lasky's show. Tomorrow I'm popping on with Johnny B. So
that's
I'm really
fantastic.
Looking forward to it.
Our new boss, Randy Michaels, is going to be so excited.
My blood pressure just shot.
All right, but I'll see you in town. Thanks. 9:25, back with more on 720 WGN and CLTV. Coming up, Anna DeVlantis and the annual retelling of the Anna DeVlantis Bad Valentine's Day gift story. Ashley, were you with me at the auto show when that happened originally?
No, I don't think so.
Do you remember the story? It's like the worst Valentine's Day gift a dude has ever given a woman.
No, I'm excited to hear about
it. Yeah, you'll hear it.
It's bad, but... Yeah, no, it's pretty bad.
It's symbolic
of
a terrible Valentine's Day gift. So each year, I force Anna to join me and retell the story. She's very happily married now with a beautiful little girl. Speaking of married, you're married.
I am married,
What's
yes.
the dude's name?
Mark Duffy.
And so you are now?
What am I doing with my
wife? What's your married name?
Oh, Ashley Duffy.
Oh, you're arguing by Ashley Duffy.
Yeah, Ashley Cullen Duffy is my legal
name. Do you hyphen
it? I don't hyphen it. It's just like a middle name now or something.
Duffy, if you get back into show business, this is not going to work. We're going to have to need to change that up. You went to do you did radio in Madison for a lot of years.
Yeah, for 6 years I was a host up there in Madison. I left here, left you, which I was super sad about. I love Chicago and I loved working
it's
for
probably
you,
but... we were paying you too much, right? Was that the deal?
Oh, I mean, when you're an intern here, I mean, yikes.
It just never gets better.
I know. But then, I went up there and I worked for 6 years on air. And then.
And how'd you meet your husband?
Met him through a girlfriend at a birthday party.
A fix-up?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
And I just saw this guy in cowboy boots and I was like, yep, check, check.
Why wasn't he wearing other clothes? Seems like a terrible outfit for a party, doesn't
That's
it?
That's why she went talk to him.
Yeah. And what does he do?
He's a land surveyor. So he surveys the land.
That's the extent of your knowledge of his job? Honey, how was your day? Well, I took out a thing, I pointed it at something, and people honked their horn.
Exactly.
That's the same first line he used on her?
Yes, yes. And you guys just took a trip, which you said you tried to get him to agree to forever. He finally agreed to it.
Yeah, so last year I had like, I'm like, you know, we don't have kids yet. We just got recently married. We don't have a mortgage. Why don't we quit our jobs? Because that's the logical thing to do in your mid-30s at your height of your career.
Yeah.
Take a trip around the country. And he's like, what? No, we'll do that. that when we retired. I cried a lot, begged a lot, and then got my way. And we, well, that's what girls do, you know?
Yeah, well, and you usually get your way. So you went to how many different places?
I think we went to, I want to say 25 of the 50 states. Mostly all the West Coast, the entire West Coast.
But a lot of touristy places, but then some places that people wouldn't think of. Like the place you mentioned was the coolest. I've never heard of it.
Cannon Beach, Oregon.
Cannon Beach, Oregon.
North, it's the northern portion of Oregon. I've been to Oregon. It's beautiful. I've never been to Cannon Beach,
the
though.
The coastline is insane.
Right? It's just, Coos Bay, that whole area. Beautiful.
Yes, it's amazing.
So what was special about it? The views?
The views are just, it's just nothing like you see around, obviously, here.
What was a place you went that was not as great as you thought it would be?
Well, New Orleans, we never made it to because I don't know if you remember this summer, there was torrential downpours.
Yeah.
So we were there when that, we were all around the country during like the fires in Big Sur and tornadoes in Minnesota. And then we were in.
So terrible weather followed you everywhere.
Everywhere. Okay. All these. Yes. And so when we got to down by New Orleans, there was the really bad rainfall. There's 31 inches in 2 days where we were at, and we had to get out of there.
Yeah, so, rain in New Orleans, bad combination. Yeah. Storms in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Was there any place other than this Oregon thing you're making up that was really, really cool?
Glacier National Park in Montana.
I've heard of it.
It's beautiful. Sawtooth National Park in Idaho was gorgeous.
Yeah, you said you loved Idaho.
Yeah, I did like Idaho. Yosemite is insane.
You went to Coeur d'Alene, didn't you?
Coeur d'Alene is very pretty.
Beautiful. Coeur d'Alene's got a golf course with a floating green.
Of course you know where the golf course is.
Yes. Well, the green, but the green moves. The green moves. It floats. It floats the different
How many
slopes.
People can be on it?
How do you get out to it?
Well, there's a boat. There's a dude on a boat that takes you out to the green. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. But I didn't visit that.
But that's a very famous resort.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't play.
Well, I wasn't in at the resort.
She was looking for heeled golf spikes.
Yeah. I was in a camper, so I didn't get to go to the other resorts, Steve.
Right.
I wasn't that fancy schmancy.
Right. So you do this for 4 months?
Yeah, so we did that, and then, we revamped a camper because I had it to, look pretty while I was traveling. And, it was awesome. It was a trip of a lifetime.
And now she's back, and she's started a business, which I think is great. Can you talk about it or not?
Yeah, I can talk about it. I it was actually a friend of mine, Monir. She asked me to do a girlfriend in Chicago to do this project for her. I'm really into interior design and decor.
Yeah.
And I like tools. So I took my saw and I started making things out of wood. So I've been doing all this custom decor stuff and it just kind of took off. And then I had a
chick with
show.
A tool belt.
Chick with a tool belt. Yep. And, so it's called Barnwood Heart. That's the name of it.
Ooh, we can use you on Housemarque.
So she'll take stuff. Actually, it would be good. So you take, literally, old Barnwood.
Yep.
And you'll customize something for people.
Yeah, I just did the Chicago skyline, actually, for someone in town. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It turned out really awesome. I'll have to show you off there.
Are you running out of barns? I mean, where do you get Barnwood?
Well, you can get Barnwood. I mean, Wisconsin has a lot of barns. And if you don't have barnwood,
she drives out late at night, starts peeling siding off of barns.
I can make things from home. I can make new wood look old also.
Oh, you can weather it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I
do tricks, you know?
All right. Well, I'll order something. I don't need any barnwood currently, but it seems like the right thing to do. Stick around for a second. We got a few more things to throw at you and try to get to the bottom of what's really going on in your life.
Sure.
Anna DeVlantis, the Valentine's Day story, as we continue with the big story. That's next on 720 WGN. A couple of other updates quickly here. Not updates, just extensions of thought more than anything else. A bunch of people texted in that, why wasn't I this upset about Benghazi? This is not a yeah, but situation. And the fact is, I was. I wasn't on this radio station then. But if you were listening to me when I was, you would have heard what I said then and what I still maintain today. President Obama lied. Hillary lied. Everybody related to both departments, the State Department, the campaign lied. The campaign for the Obama reelection team outweighed the political side in running the White House. They perpetrated the lie of a film over a terrorist act. And I'm one of the few people in the country that continues to mention the names of the people that died because the names matter. Ambassador Chris Stevens, Sean Smith, and two civilian contractors who at one point were military operators as well, who could have just stayed and not gotten involved, but Glenn Doherty and Ty Woods died as well. And they died at the hands of the Obama White House because of mismanagement of a security situation. No, I don't believe they killed them. No, I don't believe Hillary Clinton said, go ahead, let them die. I think that's all nonsense. But they absolutely lied. Their lies don't change the fact that everybody in the Trump White House is lying. The question is, when are you going to stop it? You can't do anything about the lies of the past. You can do everything about the lies that are going on right now that affect your life. Trump, President Trump, and the people involved, it's a very simple process. Come clean on Russia. Come clean on your finances. Let the chips fall where they may, because until they don't, the heat's going to get a lot hotter. At 9:46, it's Valentine's Day. The cheesy love songs continue, and it's time for the annual retelling of the Anna DeVlantis Worst Valentine's Day Gift Story. It started on this show back at the Auto Show several years ago. We'll bring Anna in here from the Roe Show next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Baby, you're the meaning in my life.
You're the inspiration. You bring me. How about Brett, baby, I'm gonna want you. Grammatical mistake that turns into a love song. Baby, I'ma want you. Baby, I'ma need you. The cheesy love songs that you're not afraid to admit you like continue to come in. My friend Anna DeVlantis from the Roe Con Show joins me now. Do you and David, your husband, do you and David have a song?
Yeah, we do. Al Green.
Let's Stay Together?
That was the song we sang at our wedding, and there's a little cheese factor to it, but we both love it. Just love it. It makes us dance every time.
Aww. It's Al Green. And look, at some point, if you get really sick of David, there's a lot of breakup songs that I could suggest.
No. She's not going to get sick of David.
No, I said if it happens.
Yeah.
That's all.
No, don't know. It's Valentine's Day, Steve. What kind of a thought is that?
Well, because it's Valentine's Day, it's time for the annual retelling of the terrible Valentine's Day present that you were given by a boyfriend. This came up at the Auto Show years ago. By the way, Ashley's here. Ashley, you interned on the show, and you met several times. Say hi to Anna.
Hi, Anna. How's it going?
Good.
I don't know if you remember me, but I remember you.
I do. I do. And I don't know if you ever heard the story, though, Ashley. Did you ever hear it?
I don't think I have, so I'm excited to hear what happened.
It'll definitely make you feel good about any bad gift you've ever got.
Well, okay. Here's the background. Anna would never see anything bad about this gift or this individual, who obviously is no longer in her life.
Right.
But they were dating for a while, and she came in, and I casually asked what person that remains nameless got her for Valentine's Day or was getting her for Valentine's Day, and she told me, and my head exploded.
Oh, no.
And I then talked about it for 4 hours nonstop.
You don't think you overreacted at all?
No, I thought my reaction was perfect.
And you're still talking about it.
Yes, I am. This is what you don't get for Valentine's Day for the woman in your life. And what was the gift?
Well, it's a cautionary tale, you're right, because it was a practical gift, and it was windshield wipers.
That's right. What? Wiper blades.
Windshield wiper blades. Blades,
right.
Yes. Exactly.
Right, blades. Not even the windshield wipers themselves. They were the blades.
The blades. Yeah, well, the wipers hopefully were still on the car. The blades. The blades.
Replacement parts. Yeah,
he bought you replacement parts for your windshield wipers.
And he thought it was a loving thing. Yes. He thought it was a loving thing to do because his theory was it was helpful and he was recognizing something that could improve my life and that I needed. And he thought that that was the appropriate thing to do.
He then obviously heard about, because I was ranting about it on air, heard about it. So he and I had never met. So fast forward, it's 2 weeks later. I'm at a Hawks game in a box, and I see this guy. By the way, he was way too short for you. I don't know if you're aware of that.
All right, now.
I didn't care.
Yeah, so he's talking to a group of people. I go to get a bottle of water out of the refrigerator in the suite, and I hear him go. And then I'm listening, and Steve Cochran is killing me. He's killing me.
He was so mad at you.
Yeah, and I tapped him on the shoulder. I go, how you doing, Steve Cochran?
Yeah.
So we had a laugh. I had a laugh. He had a fake laugh. And I think you guys broke up probably within a couple of months, didn't you?
Oh, it wasn't long after that. Now, so in his defense, he said he owned a flower company.
Uh-huh.
So because he owned a flower business, he said that it would have been too easy for him to give me flowers. so that that wouldn't have worked and that wouldn't have been acceptable in his mind.
Well, here's the thing. The only two gifts that you can give are flowers and wiper blades. So obviously right, he right. went with column B.
Did he put the blades on, though?
No, again? That's the other thing. He didn't even put them on.
That's what I was going to ask.
Because at least if he puts them on, he's worried about your safety.
My husband got me a car starter for Valentine's Day.
That's
a couple years. No, it's not. No, it's not, because that he gave me a chore. He didn't install it. He just gave me the box. I don't want a chore. No girl likes anything
because,
for their car.
Because now you have to go find someone to put it in.
Yes.
You're going to feel weird about it because you don't know if the guy's taking any of the cleaners or not. You got to go find the mechanic.
Right.
Is he overcharging me? Is he not overcharging me? How long is this going to take? It's not something I plan to do with my day. All of those things.
Same with one of those. I love my car starter, except my husband did have it installed.
Oh, well,
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was a great gift.
See, that's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally different.
General rule, a practical gift, especially early on in a relationship, it just doesn't feel right.
I'm telling you, he could have gotten you so much more. He could have gotten you so many romantic things, like one of those of those vacuum cleaners that run like a robot and go around. You know, things like that.
Oh, although I do feel like the story gets worse every time we tell it, so apologies to the guy. He doesn't live here anymore, so he doesn't matter.
Oh, please, he listens every day, you know. He listens especially on Valentine's Day because he knows it's coming up again. How are things with Roe? You still on that show?
I'm still on the show.
Yeah. Sound great.
We were at the auto show yesterday, so the wiper blades didn't come up then. Probably should have.
No, because Ro is too busy telling stories about bad gifts that he got. So.
He has some stories, that's for sure. He's got a lot of stories. But I would just say in general, I mean, and ladies, back me up on this. I'm not sure that we really love practical gifts. You've been married for a long time and you know that you want a juicer or a blender or something like that, then that's something you kind of know already. But early on in the relationship, gosh, I just don't know if the practical gift works.
No, definitely not.
Dave, any questions?
So what would, other than flowers, which you opted out of,
It's very simple. All men should listen to this. It's extremely simple. Whether you've dated someone for 2 weeks or been married to them for 25 years, just listen. Listen. Just listen to what they say. Listen to what they're interested in. Just listen. There's always something there. And go backwards to the point where you were trying every trick in the book to get their clothes off.
No.
And buy something then.
No. Do what do you always say? Get something little. And if they say, I don't want it, what's your rule?
If they say they want nothing, keep a gift handy. If they say, well, don't make a fuss, jewelry. If they say, yes, a gift would be really nice, second mortgage on the house, trip somewhere.
Perfect.
Just something that says you love her.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. All factual.
Simple.
All right, Anna DeVantis this afternoon with Ro Khan. Happy Valentine's Day. We love you.
Happy Valentine's Day. Bye, guys.
Bye,
see you later. Yep. She's just as difficult as always, isn't she?
She's the best. Poor thing.
I don't know what to do. I mean, I thought I had it figured out. Now I'm lost.
Well, it's not that hard. It's really not that hard.
Just do jewelry. We like jewelry or candy.
And as simple as we are, you should write those tips down, really.
Yeah. Looks like we made it. Left each
other on the way to another love. Barry Manilow, taking us out on this sweet, sweet, sweet Valentine's Day. He can still rock, can he? Pete McMurray just walked in. Are you working today?
I am. I'm working at 10.
Oh, you're on for Bill?
Since you're across the way, I really can't hold you. Ashley, come here. Let me hold you down.
Hey, what's wrong with that?
Oh, Pete.
What?
Oh. Yeah, this made-up husband of hers isn't around. Take your shot while you can. All right, and are you on today with him?
Jane is going to be with Pete. I'm going to sit with him until she gets
Where's
here.
Jane?
Jane's at a TV shoot. She's on her way. She's going to be 10, 15 minutes late.
Hold on a second.
Oh. Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
What do you mean she's at a TV shoot?
She works for WGN, Living Healthy Chicago, Sunday mornings at 11:30.
In the fitness
Well, then
show.
Why agree to do the show if you can't be here for the show?
She will be here on time.
The 10:15 is not on time.
Sure.
Time no, is. It's really not. Nobody knows more about not on time than me.
I was just going to say.
She's Greek, though, and it's Greek time.
She is. Greek time, 10:15 is on time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have that problem.
So, in other words, TV matters, the show doesn't?
I didn't say that.
No? Jane?
No.
Are Jane and I fighting again?
No, we are. Wait a second. I don't want to get in the middle of
you
this.
You made up. She gave you jelly.
What? Ashley, good luck with the business. Thank you for the surprise. Great to see you.
Yes, good to see you, as always.
And I'd love to meet this husband of yours.
Yeah, someday. Okay.
Is he in the van out by the river?
Hey, thanks to the people at Winehouse. Winehouse chocolate-covered wine bottles. How about that? Available only at Winehouse. $35 and up. That's pretty great. Damn. Yes, Dave.
Where?
At Winehouse.
No, I mean here.
Dave suddenly speaking. Where wine? What? He's a caveman. Where wine go? Get your Winehouse chocolate covered bottle of wine. It's a great gift. 3164 North Broadway. Well, how about that? Winehouse, go get it. 300 plus varieties of wine, Dave, including two of my favorites, Strawberry Hill from a little place called Boone's Farm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They also have a French wine called Ripel.
Yes. I didn't know it was French, but it's good enough.
Paper bag optional. What are you doing on the show?
We have a marriage counselor coming in at 11
for
o'clock.
You?
Not for me, to help people keep the spark in their marriage. You've been married 10, 15, 20 years. It kind of gets old after a while.
Yeah.
He's going
to
help.
My wife. She
did you get something for your wife?
I did.
Okay.
I got her a facial. She had roses last night. I put a card on her car today.
Nice.
I'm a great romantic.
Why did you do it yesterday?
The flowers last night, so she'd come home and see roses from work.
Okay, don't get defensive. I'm not the one married you. It's a simple question. Today's Valentine's Day.
Right. She had a facial on Sunday, roses yesterday, and today she gets the Starbucks card and a nice little card.
Okay.
I'm
nice.
Bringing it, man.
Yeah.
I am bringing it. How about you?
How about me what?
What'd you get your wife?
We're going to dinner tonight. The rest will remain unknown until I figure it out.
Steve, wait. Ask Pete what he wants.
Yeah, what do you want for me?
I want to get busy. Come on. Isn't that what every guy wants? We'll make out action.
But this time, your wife will be there.